Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
And welcome back to Overnight America. Wow. So last hour we had Chris Tuff on. Good talk about millennials. Again, I don't necessarily agree with all of the millennial things and the slang and the stuff, but I also feel like when it comes to a free market, they get blamed for a lot of things that, well, you have to adapt to if you want to be able to survive, right? You can't just assume as a business everyone has to adapt to you and what you're doing. So I get that. I totally get that. We're going to talk about a T-Rex skeleton, which is actually pretty cool. We're also going to talk about a couple of car issues where I had no idea, but if you hit a pothole, it can make your heart jump. And if you live here in St. Louis and you drive around, or if you're in Illinois and you drive around, probably have a lot of hearts getting restarted on the roadways after you hit one of those potholes that'll just chew your tire right in half. And I also want to get to that story on KMOX.com right now. And you heard Alex bring it up at the top of the hour. A man hits a 79-year-old with a gun after pushing him back into his house. The video is online, too. We're going to talk about that in a moment. Because, I mean, it's just terrible. I wanted to play this one more time before we get back into it here after midnight. Elizabeth Warren, she has this grand old plan. Oh, boy, she's got it all figured out. We are just going to cancel student debt, and that's going to be the thing that solves all of our nation's problems. Because by their own estimates, over 10 years, they feel like it'll cost just a mere $1.25 trillion. So you put Elizabeth Warren in, and that's the kind of stuff you're going to be getting. I mean, the great Elizabeth Warren.
It's not just paying the tuition. It's how they pay for books. It's how they pay for the expenses of having a baby taken care of if they already have a child at home, or being able to cover commuting expenses. Or maybe it's a chance to live in a dorm and have the kind of college experience that other kids get.
You know, this is part of the problem that we have. College is expensive. College is an issue. They keep rising. Are you getting your return on the investment? I'm much more pragmatic when it comes to the college issue, which is not everyone has to go to college. Not everyone has to go down that path. You know what we have here in St. Louis? Great apprenticeship opportunities for people to learn trades and then be able to get into high-paying jobs over a short amount of time. They don't have to go and put themselves $100,000 in debt to do something like that. We get this idea that every single person that walks the planet, or at least here in America, we should put it, every single person and every kid that's growing up is meant to go to college after high school. And we try to force this on a lot of people. And a lot of times you're 18 years old and you don't know what you're going to do with the rest of your life. And you sign up for this tremendous amount of debt and you try to see it through. And then, oh, you fail some classes. So 4 years turns to five. Oh, and then five turns to six because you want to take extra studies and you want to, you know, go even further with your education or whatever, without any idea or without any plan to be able to repay the debts. And think about all the other debts that you may be able to incur in your life. I mean, there are some debts that are unforgivable, and this is one of them. You just can't go to the IRS and say, well, I'm broke, so I'm never going to pay you back, so, you know, just leave me alone. Yeah, I'm sure the IRS is going to start leaving you alone after that. Yeah, right. Same thing with student loans. You can't default on that sort of thing. You're always going to owe it. You can't take an education and then say, oh, I'm just going to declare bankruptcy at the end of it, and it will just be done. You know, we'll just forget about it. It's just some of those things don't work. When we have the field of candidates right now that are going to be challenging President Trump in the next election that's coming up next year, we are going to see just a wide range of topics that they're going to try to push and they're going to try to exploit for certain demographics that they think are going to be able to push them over the top. They're going to play a numbers game. They are someone that have been highly tuned to whatever their drum is going to be, and they just want to beat on it. So they all want to call dibs on something else. Some are going to call dibs on impeachment. Some are going to call dibs on free college. Some are going to call dibs on climate change. Some are going to call dibs on reparations. Some are going to call dibs on, you know, you name it, free drugs or whatever. Some are going to call dibs on free medical care and free Medicaid. And some are going to call dibs on this and that. But notice the trend here. It's always a handout. It's always the, we're going to call dibs on the thing that the government can provide to you at zero cost, regardless of how we're going to pay for it. We don't care. We don't care if it's going to cost $1.25 trillion. Like, you got the Ocasio-Cortezes of the world, even though she's not running for president, thank goodness. Or maybe it would be good if she did. I mean, that would be pretty hilarious to see. That would be pretty hilarious to see. But, you know, she's going out there and she's saying, okay, we need to make it so we highly discourage, if not eliminate, air travel because of all of the pollutants and something like that, right? They want to make it so it's impractical for air travel as a way to phase it out. They want to replace all the buildings, every structure, so it's more in tune with the environment. You know, we're at the point where it doesn't matter what the cost is unless a Republican proposes it. It doesn't matter. It's getting tiresome. But when we see town hall after town hall, CNN parades them all out, like a dog and pony show or whatever it is. And they all kind of have their thing that they're trying to get their own segmented type of demographic. So they hope to get enough favor with the voting people. It's just a farce anymore. So it's actually entertaining for me to watch. And when we talk about canceling anything, it never works. And we're talking upwards, what, $50,000? So her proposal is, yeah, would forgive $50,000 in student loans. If you were responsible and did not incur student loans, like let's say, for example, that you were someone that was on scholarship, you were someone that actually earned their way to college academically, and you were able to get all of that taken care of because through high school you worked very, very hard, that's something that's awesome, right? So now, let's forget about that. You don't have to work hard. You just, you know, it's a throwaway. Let's just make college a throwaway. Or let's also say that you're someone that paid off your loans and you're responsible with your finances like myself. When I got out of college, I started immediately paying back loans and I paid them as fast as I could. And I wanted to get that debt off my back because it was ridiculous to think I'm going to be working towards paying this off. So I did more than the minimum. I was financially responsible and eventually I paid off my student loans and I don't have any student loans. And it was a great feeling to have that done. So what are you going to say to the people that are responsible? Well, no, it doesn't matter. We don't know what your finances are. We don't know what you spent your money on. I guess you could have been spending your money on cars you can't afford or overbuying on your apartment or your house, or maybe you're going on all these vacations, or maybe you're buying designer shoes or $2,000 cell phones. None of that makes sense. You know, none of it cares. We don't care. All we care is you put your student loans last, so we're going to take care of that because you lived it up while other people were responsible. This is ridiculous. So when you get these Elizabeth Warrens of the world going out there, You gotta have some responsibility in your own life. You have to be able to take responsibility at some point. Or what are we gonna do? We're just gonna say, no need to be responsible. The government's gonna be the one to be responsible for you. Do you wanna have your liberties taken away so the government could be the one to be responsible for you? And that's where we're at. The Democrat platform, take away as much as you can because the government's gonna take care of you, honey. 314-436-7900. Or 800-925-1120. You can call or text. You can follow me on Twitter. Or if you want to check out the podcast, download it at kmox.com/ONA. So I got made fun of from Jeff in Clayton that said, it's strange for a St. Louisan to hear soft drinks called pop. You know, right? When I grew up, all soft drinks were pop. If you had Pepsi, Coke, it was a pop. But I know it's a regional thing. Some areas call it pop, some call it soda. Let me tell you a little thing that I like to do. I know what it's called, but I always like to call it the opposite because it stands out. I don't know why. When I was in Michigan, I didn't call it pop, I called it soda. When I live here, I don't call it soda, I call it pop. Why? Because it's more fun to call it the thing that it's less called, right? So let's get some of your calls on this. And if you want to answer this question, should we cancel college debt? 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Alan calling in. Hey, Alan, what's going on?
Hey, how are you tonight?
Good.
Hey, if you cancel debt and about scholarships, why would people try to excel in something to try to get free college if you're going to get paid for anyway?
You're right.
Why would somebody try to get a higher grade point average to try to get a scholarship? You're going to get paid for anyway.
Yeah, and you're going to get the same experience, right? If you're if we're talking about public institutions that they're going to be able to get into for free or whatever the college debt is for free, what's the point?
Just skate along and it's getting paid anyway.
And let me also mention this. What happens when the colleges realize Uncle Sam's paying for it? What do you think is going to happen to the prices then?
Big time inflation.
Yeah. What do you think happened with our medical costs? Like our medical costs, have they ever gone down when the government started paying for everything? So, Alan, everything just goes up. So we're going to make college not only unaffordable to the people that are going to be trying to privately pay for these things because their parents make too much money, but then you're going to make it so it's impossible to even afford it for anyone else if you're going to just keep rising the cost and it's out of control anyway.
Right.
Yeah. It's something that, economically speaking, it doesn't ever work the way these politicians bring it up. They always try to pander. And they always try to say, well, what's the next free thing we can give out? And what can we try to grab people's attention for? And what can we try to grab votes for? And they always fail on these things. So it's tiresome. We got to cut this stuff out.
I took a great little class over here at Edwardsville. And I've already paid my debt gone. I've only been out of class for about 6 years.
Okay. How many
classes? Student loans paid off.
Did you have a lot of student loans?
No. Oh, it's a great class. It's a one-year program. It's called ERTC. Mm-hmm. And they teach you how to operate water and wastewater plants.
Oh, cool. So after how much was it expensive? Can I ask how much it cost?
Under $30,000.
That's a lot of money. And you were able to pay that back?
Yes, sir.
For a 1 year, $130,000?
No, $30,000.
Oh, $30,000. Okay.
Under $30,000.
Under 30. Okay, I misheard you. So if it's under 30 and you go to this, and is there a big demand, as in when you were able to complete the courses and get the passing grades, were you able to find a job fairly easy?
Yes, about 18 months I found a great job.
Great. Great paying job, too?
Great pay, great benefits.
Excellent.
Local. We're actually hurting for operators.
Why don't we encourage?
Yeah. We're actually hurting.
Alan, if you don't mind me asking, how old are you?
I'm 55.
Why did you decide to go back to school at 55?
Layoff. I've worked for Boeing, McDonnell Douglas. I worked for Olin. I worked for Owens, Illinois, and just layoffs all the time. I was a machinist by trade.
Yeah. You know, there are college courses that are offered, and the government actually pays for some college courses. Of course, you have military, so if you served in the military, you have the GI. But there's also instances where there is government funding set aside if you lost your job, if it went overseas. So if you're someone that had a job and they decided to move the factory to Mexico or something like that, and you're just out of a job at that point, the government, they actually charge the companies that do that sort of thing, and then they can pay to re-educate you for you to find another job. Did you know that?
Yes.
Yeah. There are programs where the government tries to educate. And, yeah, what a great idea for some of these people going to college. Join the military and get your college paid for. You can serve your country.
I was a little too old for that.
Yeah, but there's always these plans that require no service at all to your country. And it's just, there's nothing. You have to do nothing. And when you have nothing invested, what happens too, you know?
Right.
All right. Hey, thanks, Alan. Good to hear from you.
Have a great night. Stay safe.
314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Let me put it this way. If you ever owned a property that you rented out to someone, you always have good renters and bad renters. You have ones that take care of it. You have ones that are just okay with it. And then you have ones that trash it. So if you offer it and they have nothing invested and they have no skin in the game for it, they don't care what the property is like after they leave. That's kind of the similar thing with the college experience. Like, let's say everything's taken care of. If you have no skin in the game, as in you have no responsibility, there's going to be some that flunk out, don't take it seriously, and they're done. You're going to be some that don't care, and then you're going to be some just for the experience, and then you're going to have some that are serious that actually want to go through that education. And what is that going to mean, too, when you have no responsibilities? How many times can you go through or whatever? Yeah, maybe the person that was discouraged for going into, what does Ben Shapiro say? He says the people that are going to school for lesbian dance theory are the ones that are shocked by the time they get out of school and they realize there's no jobs for that sort of thing. Yeah, so we're going to just see an influx of people going to college and trained for something that they're never going to be able to find a job for. Because, you know, why not? Uncle Sam's paying for it. Shouldn't you be able to, as a parent, want to encourage your kid to at least be set up for the rest of their life, to find the things that they're passionate about? but also the things that they're not going to be able to live in your basement for the rest of life type of jobs, you know? You want to be able to have them get out on their own. You want to be able to encourage these things. This is discouraging to me. All right. So Elizabeth Warren's plan. I mean, that's a stinker. Oh, do you see the story at KMOX.com? Man, this is a crazy video. If you actually haven't seen this, you should probably go to it and watch it first. It is graphic, which is really sad. St. Louis police released a video from a man's private security camera inside of his own home. So he has this Nest camera set up. It looks like it's not the kitchen. It kind of looks like a side door maybe that has access to outside. Maybe his front porch. Maybe this is like his living area, the front door entry. So what happened to the 79-year-old man was, from what I can tell, and you can see the story online and all the news agencies are reporting it, was on his front door, Grand in Lafayette, Friday afternoon. A man wearing a dark peacoat, khakis, tan baseball hat, and skull mask forced himself inside. So pushed the 79-year-old man in. And the 79-year-old man struggles with this person. And again, this is distressing. It's not necessarily graphic to hear, but it is distressing. So I'll give you a warning here as the man is yelling at this person that just forced his way into his home.
Get out of here. Get out of here. Ow.
And at this point, he's pointing a gun at him and he's starting to hit him with the gun.
What's the matter with you?
What's the matter with you is right.
Ow. Get out of here. What's the matter with you?
So this is Grand and Lafayette near the Compton Hill Reservoir. So what happened first was the intruder. Yeah, and it goes on like that for a while. So the intruder came in, hit him a few times and pushed him back into a chair and then pushed him onto the floor where he searched his body. Surveillance camera luckily caught this. And if you know anything about this, according to the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department, they're searching for a suspect described as a black male, 25 to 35 years old, 5'10 to 6 foot tall, 150 pounds. And the victim was transported to the hospital for treatment. The incident caught on camera. If you know someone around that area and you can look at that and say, oh, that looks like someone I know, call police. Anyone that's going around harassing senior citizens, going in and pistol whipping them in their own home, you don't want that person around. This person, call the police on this person, period. Call the police on this person. Don't hesitate. And it's probably terrible that this 79-year-old man, whose name and face was blurred out, so you don't get to see who this is. It's probably terrible that for the rest of his life, he's going to have this video out here and knowing that people are watching him get beat up. But I haven't seen one person yet that hasn't tried to put out the very important call, which is to get this person caught immediately. And I hope they do. I hope they catch him very quickly. What's interesting is he's wearing a mask and all of these things. Some people speculated, well, I wonder if he knew that this was recorded inside the home, if it was someone that he had some sort of inside knowledge for that, or maybe knew the person, but it doesn't seem like that's the case, that he knew the person. Because I feel like if this happened on Friday and he went to the hospital for it, if he had an idea who it was, they'd at least give a name, but it doesn't sound like that. I hope they catch this person soon. I really hope I'm able to update you on an arrest here. All right, so coming up, I want to play a whole nother story from Kevin Colleen. Now, this is really cool. One of the former late night hosts here on KMOX was John McCormick, the man who walks and talks at night. I had no idea that there was an estate sale with all of his stuff going up for auction. I had no idea. I think it's over now. Kevin reported on it. So we're going to play that. And talking about things for sale, did you know you can go buy a T-Rex skeleton? That'd be kind of cool, right? Do you want to own a T-Rex skeleton? No, the whole deal, the whole set. Some people are upset this is for sale. We'll talk about that next. Overnight America, KMOX. Welcome back to Overnight America. For our listeners that have been around for a long time, the ones that listen to Jim White, and even further back, the ones that listen to John McCormick, you're going to love this. Kevin Colleen did a great whole nother story on John McCormick. I wanted to play for you here.
Good morning, everyone. John McCormick speaking, the man who walks and talks at midnight. From our little part of the world, the city of St. Louis, here comes 50,000 clear channel red-hot watts of the wide horizon late-night signal of radio.
The estate sale for John McCormick and his wife, June, takes place today and Saturday. Mike Harris is organizing the sale for Deja Vu Estate Sales. What's up for sale?
Photos and lots of records, some KMOX records, a lot of DJ copies. There's some scripts. There's some letters. It looked like the people were car racers, the majority of the photos. I guess it was early in his career. Now he has a vintage 1971 Honda motorcycle we have for sale here, and he was in the cars. I don't know if you know the story about his wife, June. June was Evelyn Knight, famous singer. That was her sister. And June did all the makeup for her.
So we have an estate sale for two famous people.
Oh, yeah.
How did they live? What sort of furniture and how did their house, what sort of feel did it have?
Well, they had a lot of mid-century vintage furniture. There's some bubble lights. There's, all kinds of different kind of furniture and designer furniture. And just they had a big sprawling ranch in Frontenac, and it's a cool house.
Of course, it's important to keep you company, but far more important than that is to keep you thoroughly informed.
This is St. Louis. KMOX is involved in it.
The estate sale of John McCormick is a reminder that no matter what we are in life, afterwards, at our estate sale, strangers will mill through our house, and as they walk out on the driveway, probably say they didn't like our drapes. With a whole nother story, I'm Kevin Killeen.
Kevin is the best. He is the best. And those segments, I love them. That's why we replay them here in Overnight America. Now, if you're wondering, that played, I think, a few days ago. So I think the estate sale's over. I actually don't know, normally they don't last long. So that's actually a few days old, meaning if you're still looking to find some John McCormick stuff, I wouldn't take time off of work to go through it. It's pretty much over. So that's a shame. I wish I had known. I'd love to have picked up some memorabilia. I wonder if Kevin did. I said, message him and ask. You know what else is for sale? T-Rex skeleton, super rare. A fossil hunter is getting a lot of slack online right now. Maybe not slack's the right word. Flack, maybe? For putting up a baby T-Rex skeleton, one of the only ones in the world, on eBay for $3 million. So this is what they're saying. Basically, if you are in the business of bones, paleontologists and things, they're not pleased with the idea that the skeleton could go to a private collection. And I don't know if you know this. If you find a dinosaur on your property and you dig up the bones or whatever it is, it's yours, right? There's no law that says it's automatically property of the U.S. government or whatever and it needs to be preserved. It's yours. There's people that are specifically dinosaur hunters. They look where there's some areas where they known other bones have been found, and they'll go out, they'll excavate, and they'll try to find these things, and they'll sell them for a profit. A lot of times, it's museums and things that aren't buying these, but they can make a ton of money. You want to know why? If you're a museum and you have actual T-Rex bones on display, that's a huge attraction. So some of the biggest museums, they'll bid big dollars on it, and they'll get approved for this sort of thing. So this guy's selling it. It shouldn't be a problem. It's his property. If it's his and it's his property, he's free to do with it whatever he wants. If he wants to keep it in a box, if he wants to get some drumsticks and just play In the Air Tonight by Phil Collins on him, he could do that too. Now, the area where it's been in the past, so he's a Kansas native. The University of Kansas actually had it on display. He had it on loan to them on display. And then one day realized, maybe I could make some money off of this. The T-Rex was found in Montana about 6 years ago. And in the University of Kansas says, the KU Natural History Museum does not sell or mandate the sale of specimens to private individuals. Accordingly, the specimen on exhibit loan to us has been removed from exhibit and is being returned to the owner. We have asked that the owner remove any association with us from his sale listing. Okay, I get it. So if you get, $3 million or something, you can hop on over to eBay right now and do this. If you want it shipped to where you are, let's say you don't want to go to Kansas and pick up a bunch of T-Rex bones, you know what you could do is do the express shipping option for a low, low price of $65,555, which is a kind of a deal. If you're spending $3 million, 65 grand's probably not going to put you back all that much. I can see this being popular with a lot of museums. Just the way that the demand is on these things. And you're going to find all kinds of memorabilia up for sale all the time. It's not everything that a museum would want to display is something that you have to donate to a museum, right? I'm sure you have some pieces in, like, you remember your great-great-grandma passed this down, or your grandpa fought in World War I, and you got this and you got that. There's always going to be places that will find value in that, and they would probably like to have it on display. Or here's a medal, here's a coin, here's a sword, here's a gun, you know, stuff like that. It might not be the Science Center that wants it, but I'm sure there's other museums that would be able to put that on display or whatever it is. You have no obligation. You shouldn't feel like there's some sort of pressure for you to go in there and say, well, I'm not allowed to have this, so I better give it to someone for free. No, you don't have to do that. It's yours. You're free to do with it whatever you want. So anyone that's complaining that this T-Rex skeleton could go into a private collection, enough. He can do whatever he wants, just like you have the ability to do whatever you want with your own property. There's no reason. And listen, you could be sore. You could be sore and say, oh, that would be a shame if this went to a private collection. This is what you do. You find a way to fundraise or whatever, or try to convince some of these giant museums that got a lot of money to spend for exhibits to purchase it. That's what you do. You could be the one to get it. And I hope they do. But otherwise, if you want a T-Rex hanging out in your garage or something, that'd be kind of a cool attraction. Up next, a woman brings a truck in for service, and something happens to her car next. Have you ever wondered what happens to your vehicle after you drop it off at a dealership? And I got a dealership story for you. I'm very skeptical about something that happened at a dealership. Maybe I'll share that with you coming up next, too. On Overnight America, KMOX.
Keeping you up and making you think. This is Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX.
And welcome back. All right, so I got a good story for you about taking a car into a dealership. You know, and obviously I'm not going to call them out by name because they don't have a chance to defend themselves, but I'm still going to tell you the story either way because this other story has given me an idea or at least reminded me of what I had to go through. So let me point this out first. In Mississippi, if you haven't seen this one, this is pretty good. A woman who brought her truck in for service shocked to find that her car was being used by a dealership employee to run errands and mess around and hot dog out on the roads. She had the last laugh, though. So her name is Penny Thompson. She brought her truck, which she calls Big Bertha, into a dealership in Mississippi. It's a Mack Haik, H-A-I-K, dealership in Flowood, Missouri, or excuse me, Mississippi. Flowood, Mississippi. This is according to the Ledger, the newspaper down there. She saw her truck on the highway. And I've always wondered when I drop a car off, what they do with the car. You're putting a lot of trust into it. You know, they could be doing this Ferris Bueller's Day Off deal where you put your car in there and they go out there and they're hopping hills and they're flying through the air and they're, you know, no regard for what happens next because, hey, as long as it's running and the engine starts and they can drive off, as far as they know, it's something they did, whatever. You know, it's crazy. It must have been something you did. I'm sure we never would have damage the car in any way and try to hide it, which I'm very skeptical that some different car mechanics do. And she sees her car out there. She mentions that her car was about 2 miles away from the store and it was going to Lowe's. She saw the car zipping and zapping through traffic, tailgating another car. And when she saw this thing, it's a very recognizable car. You know, when you know your car, right? If there's distinguishing features on it and you don't have it, if it's your kid driving it, or if it's a dealer, or if it's a mechanic, or whatever it is. So she follows it to Lowe's, and she calls the dealership while she's in the parking lot at Lowe's and asked if she knew where the truck was. Then Thompson found out that they said, oh, no, no, everything's fine, no big deal. I mean, nothing out of the ordinary. We're just working on it. They lied to her over the phone. That was a problem for her. So she got her spare key, and she took her car back and drove away. She drove it back to the dealership to confront the manager and said, what are you doing? I witnessed you with this car. I trusted you. You lied to me. How could I bring my car here? This is crazy talk. Well, this is what the dealership did. She said, oh, no, 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 please, please. We'll give you free service. Don't tell anyone. Please don't tell anyone. And she said, no. one of the last things I would do if I was trusting my car with someone and they were working on it, the last thing I'm going to do is trust them to do a good job or not try to, you know, mess with my vehicle after I've called them out for inappropriately using it and lying to me. So even if they offer to do it for free, you can't take it there. You can't trust them. It's over. Done. So she goes and tells the newspaper, and they report on it. Apparently, the dealership later said they issued an apology. The employee was fired, and the service manager was suspended. And I always wonder, does this happen a lot where you take your car into a mechanic or a dealership or whatever it is, and they go around playing around with your car when they shouldn't? I always wonder. And if you have any stories like that, oh, man, maybe it's better you text them, because I'm always a little bit hesitant to bring up problems with dealerships or problems with mechanics when you only get one side of the story. But let me tell you something that happened to me and why I'm never going to go back to this one place I just went to not that long ago. My wife's vehicle had a recall, and had a recall for a little bit. So finally we thought, all right, we're going to get it in. We're going to get it fixed. We kept getting the mail that said, go in, it's time, go get your recall, do this and do that. So I schedule the appointment, and I have to drop the vehicle off, because we don't know how long it's going to take. Could be a few hours. So, you know, that's fine. We'll drop it off. I'm not going to wait because you don't know. And I got back and they handed me a piece of paper that was their quick inspection. You know, they do these, you know, 50-point inspections or whatever it is. And here's everything it is. And everything's checked off. Everything's in the green. Everything's great. Everything's wonderful. Oh, this is perfect. Thank you for checking it out. I'm so glad you did the thorough inspection on my vehicle to let me know everything was okay. So they hand me this piece of paper, and I get back and I'm reviewing it in the car, my wife's car. And I have some mechanical issues on the car that I know need fixed. At the time, I was leaking brake fluid through the back passenger, the back passenger wheel. I was still trying to figure out, I fiddled around with it a little bit, couldn't quite figure out where the leak was coming from, but it was just like a small leak. And you know, I'd see a little bit of drops or whatever on the garage floor. It wasn't enough to actually impact my driving, but obviously you don't want a brake fluid leak. So, you know, every once in a while I'd check the engine. If I needed to add a little bit more, I would. If I'm leaking brake fluid and they did an inspection of my brakes and they said everything was fine, you know what that indicates to me? They didn't check anything. They lied to me. Obviously, if you go back there and see everything's covered with brake fluid and it's leaking, and then you check it off, everything's fine, I can't trust you. You lied to me. You know, I had some other mechanical issues with it too. It's just ridiculous. I have problems. I definitely have trust issues. There was one place I took my car into when I had a problem with my vehicle and the starter went out on it. And I took my car to AutoZone at first. I thought it was a battery issue. And I'll tell you what, the AutoZones here, compared to the other places I lived, they go above and beyond for you here. They were super nice to me. And I thought it was a battery issue because it was kind of slow to crank a couple times. So I went to go get the free testing or whatever. And then they come back out and they say, the battery's fine. I try to start my car and it dies right there in the AutoZone parking lot. So I get a free tow and I take it to the place I normally get my oil changes. That was the mistake. Finally, they get the car and the tow person shows up. And in the meantime, I'm calling and just trying to figure out how much money this is going to cost. I call them up and I say, hey, my starter went out. I need a replacement starter. Here's my make model. Here's this and that. And they say, okay, this is how much it's going to cost. Okay, fine, whatever. I'll take it down there and that'll be it. I just don't have the time. I had family in town and I have no idea how to change a starter. I've never had to do it before, but I could probably figure it out. But I just, you know, with family in town, I don't want to spend an entire day in the garage playing around with this thing. So I'll bite the bullet. I normally do my own repairs, get it towed all the way down to this one shop I get for the oil changes. And they take it off the tow. We push it in and goes right into the bay. And as soon as the tow leaves, the guy comes out and says, okay, it's going to be this much money. They tacked $100 on, $100 onto it. And the person said, well, over the phone, we had to see it first. And I said, are you replacing the starter? Is there something else going on? They're like, no, we're doing that. I said, you said this is how much it's going to cost to replace the starter. And they said, I know it's crazy, but okay, if you want, you can get it towed somewhere else. They tried to pull that crap on me. So, you know what, I'm like, what am I going to do? I can't get another tow. It's going to cost me that much to get a tow somewhere else after I already just used my tow. So I bite the bullet and I tell them, I'm never going to come here again. There's why would I come here? You lied to me. So this is the thing. You want to know when you find a good mechanic or a good dealership, you tell other people about that. You know, it's so disappointing that they play this game and they get a bad reputation. And I feel bad for the great ones that are out there that have to deal with the knuckleheads that you got to get through before you find the good ones. You know, it's terrible. And luckily, I don't think I'm going to get in trouble, but I'm not going to say the name of the places. It wouldn't be fair. But, you know, I found one that I like so far, and I probably shouldn't name them either. You never know. But eventually, maybe I'll post them up somewhere. But it's just disappointing. Oh, talk about this one. This one was actually pretty cool. One more quick before we go to the news here, CBS at the top of the hour. Do you see that story? This was reported in ABC 7 in Los Angeles, but this was actually in Nebraska. It was a man that was in the back of an ambulance. He had a dangerously high heartbeat of 200 beats per minute, a 59-year-old man. They're trying to get him to the hospital as fast as he can. When the ambulance hits a pothole, boom! Medics then noticed as soon as that pothole was hit, you know what happened after that? His heartbeat started to actually fix itself.
It would be hard to find anyone who likes potholes.
But hitting one apparently saved one Nebraska man's life.
That sounds like this audio recorded weird.
One way to treat that is with an electrical shock. Classically, you'll see on television, the paddles clear and the big jolt. Turns out you can do that with a pothole.
Wow.
Turns out you can do that with a pothole. You think medical professionals recommend next time your heart's having some issues, you know, get in the back of a car and have your kids drive you around until you hit a pothole? Now, that's what you do if you have bad insurance. Up next, hopefully you have good insurance. I hope you do. You know, housework can keep the brain young. Somehow I feel like I'm going to die young. And, oh, big tech stories. If you're using mental health apps, you're going to want to hear this. It's Overnight America, KMOX.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.